WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A monkey wrench just thrown into a long-awaited ceasefire agreement intended to bring about a hostage release in Gaza. Team coverage begins with reporter Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
The ceasefire has not yet been approved by the Israeli cabinet, with the prime minister's office saying that Hamas is trying to extort last-minute concessions and that the cabinet will not meet until Hamas approves the whole deal. Hamas denied it has reneged.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Many people around the world are skeptical. In London,
I mean, it's great they stopped. But has it?
Many Israelis don't have confidence it will hold.
I don't trust that they will bring back the other hostages. So we are getting 33, but what about the others?
Others, too, believe it was just a necessary pause.
I think it was the only thing to do.
It's one of the biggest dilemmas, choosing between bad and the worst.
Even if the deal is implemented by both sides, it would require further negotiations before there is a lasting ceasefire and complete hostage release.
An Oval Office goodbye from President Biden.
I'm so proud of how much we've accomplished together for the American people. And I wish the incoming administration success, because I want America to succeed.
But he also warned of an emerging oligarchy of the ultra-wealthy.
The dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked.
Mr. Biden did not mention President-elect Trump by name. This will be day three of confirmation hearings for Mr. Trump's cabinet picks. His choice for Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, took a turn before senators yesterday, along with Pam Bondi, his choice for Attorney General. CBS's Nicole Killian says she will be back today.
Many senators expect Rubio and Bondi to be confirmed. At least five more confirmation hearings are scheduled this week. That includes for Trump's picks for Treasury, Scott Bessent, and Homeland Security, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem.
Crews in Southern California hope to make more headway on the deadly wildfires when winds calm today. CBS's Tom Hansen is in Los Angeles.
The reprieve is going to be short-lived. The National Weather Service says that early next week, the Santa Ana winds could come back, particularly on Monday.
Palisades and Eaton fires have now burned almost 40,000 acres. Early this morning at Cape Canaveral.
5, 4.
Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin launched its new Glenn rocket into orbit after a three-day delay. The company says the success of the mission is crucial to compete with SpaceX. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks beat the Magic again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with another win over the Orlando Magic, 122-93 at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks moving up to fourth place in the Eastern Conference, surpassing Orlando. They're coached by Jamal Mosley, born in Milwaukee, later got his start in the NBA with the Bucks under George Karl. How important is a win over a team they could face in the playoffs? Brooke Lopez.
It's obviously very important. You know, I think we've won games a few different ways against them, but Coach Mosley has done a fantastic job with them. They never quit. They never say die. They play a full 48 minutes every night. They play as hard as they can.
NFL, Matt LaFleur in meetings this week with his coaching staff, reviewing what went wrong for the team down the stretch. Could Jordan Love improve?
Do I think he can play better? Absolutely. Do I think I can help him out and be better? Absolutely. Do I think we can play better around him? Absolutely. I just think it's too much to put it on one person.
That's the Packers' Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a trip down TV memory lane and were a fan of the show Twin Peaks, this might pique your interest. The murder mystery drama set in the Pacific Northwest will be available on Blu-ray box set. In addition to all the seasons, there will be 27 hours of behind-the-scenes and extra features. The box set doesn't officially drop until February 3rd, but you can currently pre-order it on Amazon for a cool $56. Actors work odd jobs to pay rent before their big break. For actor David Schwimmer, one of the gigs included serving divorce papers after his freshman year in college, thanks to his lawyer mother. The Friends actor and star of the new show Goosebumps told Stephen Colbert he once served singer Rod Stewart with divorce papers. Apparently, Alana Stewart, Rod's wife at the time, no longer wanted his body or thought he was sexy. Goosebumps is available to stream on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. I think we'll see a little sunshine by later this afternoon with a high in the low 30s today. It will be less windy this afternoon, too. 23 tonight, tomorrow, cloudy in the mid to upper 30s. And then hang on, it is going to get brutally cold later this weekend into early next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Governor Evers announcing a new Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun safety, and J.R. Ratcliffe. Stalk all things sports in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06. Nice to have you along on this Thursday morning, January 16th, 2025. Coming up in our first half hour, we'll talk to a couple of our journalist friends, Elizabeth Montemurro from Up North News, Melissa Kay from Civic Media, about some of the Wisconsin headlines of the past week here. We'll later be joined by Frank Zufall from the Wisconsin Examiner, who's written a commentary on Sean Duffy, the former congressman whose confirmation hearing was held yesterday by the U.S. Senate for him to be Secretary of Transportation, despite nothing really in his background that would indicate a good fit for transportation. And in our second half hour, we will talk to two more new state legislators, Assembly Representative Tara Johnson and State Senator Jody Habersinickan will be joining us to talk about their early days in the legislature and some of the issues that are being talked about already. Greg Bach is here at Radio Park in Racine, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well, getting us ready for tomorrow when we're going to need shorts and flip-flops, and then a couple of days later when we're going to need to wear 15 layers, not the 12 that we had this time around. So,
isn't
Brittany,
it crazy?
It's, goodness. It's very, very crazy. Rob writes, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 28. We got an inch of snow overnight. I was plowing and salting in Tigerton this morning. Let's see. He also mentions, because he usually writes on Facebook, but says his Facebook account was hacked. Can't get in to use that account to show pictures to Brittany about the weather and nature. Could somebody help him retrieve it, please? Hmm. So, see, I have not had that experience. I've plenty of other people. You get the friend request, and you go, a friend request? Really? Then, you know, you can tell it's been hacked. And yeah, it's just one more reason why social media is the worst. But Tony writes from Ashland, please don't take my beautiful snow.
Come take our beautiful snow.
I'm with you, Tony.
Those were here in the Chippewa Valley. We got like two or three clippers of weather, you know, waves of really intense snow. I mean, it didn't amount to much more than, you know, an inch tops maybe, but it really got your attention. It was the equivalent of a thunder shower coming through, how hard it came down for a brief time.
Oh, I like that. Equivalent of a thunder shower pushing through. And it was pretty steady here in Wausau. We got about a half an inch, but a trace to a half an inch statewide for a lot of us yesterday. A few flurries still flying up north. That'll be the case for the Northwoods today. Just a trace left to accumulate. But temperatures are warm and mild. I mean, we're talking the coldest right now is 23 degrees into Door County and Waukesha. And the warmest, where Tony is, Ashland, 34 degrees, already above freezing along the south shore of Lake Superior. So we are going to see some of that light flurries in the Northwoods, possibly mixed with a little bit of freezing rain. That will kick on out of here by this afternoon, and then we'll stay just mostly cloudy today. So a cloudy, breezy one, winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour, and highs sitting in the low to mid-30s. So a lot of us flirting with that freezing mark, and by tomorrow, all of us climbing above freezing. And like Tony said, melting some of that snow away.
Oh, yikes. But then.
I know. And then, dun, 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 Saturday. So Friday, this cold front pushes through and it could bring a chance for a few spotty snow showers, possibly mixing with light freezing rain down in southern parts of the state. So that cold front moves through and we are going to feel it hard. It hits hard. By Saturday, highs are in the teens. Winds are gusting out of the northwest up to 25 miles per hour, so we're already feeling below zero on Saturday, and then we fall below zero overnight, and we don't climb above it for Sunday and Monday for a major part of the state, and some of those temperatures overnight lows falling to near 20 below with near 40 below wind chills.
Ooh.
It is going to be brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we're talking like 72 hours or more of just straight below zero.
Yes. I don't think we start to climb really out of it until Wednesday afternoon, maybe into the evening.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't understand exactly how these Facebook hacks happen.
Wow.
I mean, look at this. Look at this comment that came in. Lots of emojis. Congratulations for this new year 2025. The general manager of the House Coca-Cola around an amount of $500,000 for the first 10 people won for these fans. If you are a fan of Coca-Cola, click on link to claim your bonus. And then a web address that, again, looks like, you know, somebody put your dictionary in a shredder. This seems legit. I'm going to click the link here. And
The House Coca-Cola sounds like the official drink of Game of Thrones. Like,
I mean, we get one of these every so often, you know, in the comments section. And I mean, look, I can think of one time where I almost legit fell for a phishing thing because it looked like, you know, a text or an email from somebody that I knew. But at some point you hear about all the other stories and it's kind of hit you to go, I don't know if that's on the level. So then I send a private message to somebody going, have you been hacked? Like, yes, yeah. I have. I'm sorry. You know, so don't click the mystery links, people.
Yeah.
Yep, don't do it.
Stay away.
Nope.
Stay
just
away.
Just enjoy the weather. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. It is 7:12 right now on Up North News Radio. And in sports, the Milwaukee Bucks were winners yesterday over the Orlando Magic, 122-93. Damian Lillard scored 30 points. Giannis had 26. The homestand for the Bucks continues with games tomorrow against Toronto and Sunday against Philadelphia. All right. Let's bring in now the one of our reporters here from Up North News and from Civic Media. That would be Elizabeth Montemurro and our friend Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa, Elizabeth, good morning to you both. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think one of the things that we wanted to do in the new year was spend more of our Thursdays kind of talking about some of the big state stories that we cover throughout the week. We certainly do that with Joe Zepecki at 6:30 on Thursday mornings, but wanted to expand the folks that we were hearing from on Thursdays. We often talk about national stories on Friday mornings. We talk to people from Courier Newsroom like Kia Vakil at 6:30. And then at 7:20 tomorrow, our panel with veteran journalists Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and more folks from Courier Newsroom. So a lot of voices that we wanted to bring to the show to talk about things that you were covering this week. Elizabeth, we'll get to you in a moment because I know that we've got some audio from the top state Senate Republican about a potential abortion ban. Melissa, you're fresh off a little bit of time off, so you're probably getting right back into the swing of things in terms of covering some of the news around central Wisconsin this week.
Yes, indeed. And one of the big stories is coming out of Wausau, actually, with now a new complaint against Mayor Doug Dinney for his decision to move a ballot drop box.
Yes. I mean, it's eight Wisconsin citizens. They filed a complaint with the Wisconsin Ethics Board alleging improper conduct. And I don't know if that ethics complaint was sparked by frustration that there hasn't been any, we haven't heard much of anything in the court system from a district attorney or anything like that, right?
It could be. You know, it's interesting to me that there was all this talk about election interference, election, we got to worry about elections, elections need to be safe. And then after November 5th, all of that conversation disappeared.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's almost like, well, it's suspicious, shall we say, that all that talk kind of dried up. So we'll follow that ethics complaint with the state ethics board from the citizens of Wausau about Mayor Doug Denny.
That they are continuing to have that discussion because it's important.
It is important. When somebody takes it upon themselves to move a drop box, I mean, it's the mayor. So we say he moved a drop box. For anybody else, we'd say it was theft or vandalism. Mm-hmm. You know, the mayor somehow asserted authority that he clearly did not have. Whether there will be, you know, consequences is what we're waiting to see. And now we have a new avenue to look for those consequences. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, down in Madison, Elizabeth, as you're following things with the legislature, the state Senate Republican Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu of Oostburg was asked a lot of questions about what might be taken up in the legislature. They're still in the majority, but their majority is much thinner than it was. So you'd think that there'd be maybe more trying to work with Governor Tony Evers, but he indicated that on one especially contentious issue, they're going to stick to their guns and maybe even go to, you know, a position that so many people consider to be extreme when it comes to reproductive rights.
That's right. You know, at the end of last year, we had the state Supreme Court hearing arguments with regards to the state abortion ban as it exists in our 1849 abortion ban law and the other parameters around that. But on Upfront this past weekend, Devin Lemahieu in so many words said, we're going to look at it anyway, but don't take my word for it.
Here's
what he had to say.
Here's Devin Lemahieu.
But when they make a ruling, finally, if they do at some point, then we'll see what the ruling is and respond at that point.
So it's potential that there could be an abortion ban that the Senate proposes?
It could be a 14, if they make abortion legal full term, or if they keep it at the 20 week, we could try to do it to 14 weeks. You know, at that point, we'll try build consensus and see where our caucus is at, see where the assembly's at.
So if they did keep it at 20 weeks, there would at least be the discussion to potentially restrict it even further?
Correct.
The potential to restrict it even further to a 14-week ban. Elizabeth, I know we've covered this ground before, but what medical basis or scientific basis is Devin Lemahieu and Senate Republicans grabbing 14? Why a 14-week ban? What's the basis in science or medicine for that?
Oh, I haven't seen anything.
No, there is none. There is none. As we've covered plenty of times with Dr. Lyerly and other physicians, 14 is a number plucked out of the air at you know some point. And the interesting thing about this is that last year or in the last session, Republicans in the assembly passed a bill that called for a binding referendum, I think, might have been advisory, but a referendum on whether Wisconsin should have a 14-week ban. And Devin Lemahieu wouldn't even take it up in the state Senate because he said, well, I'm going to veto it anyway, so why even bother? And yet here he is now saying, well, we'll just pass a straight 14-week abortion ban and send that to the governor. Again, stating the obvious, Elizabeth, but have there been any indications Governor Evers is up to signing a 14-week abortion ban into law?
No, and if anything, I believe he's on record as saying he will sign nothing related to the topic.
Right, because he has vetoed something like a dozen bills to this point about that. But that's something that, again, the first thing Republicans in the legislature did was pass a referendum for this April to put voter ID in the state constitution, a voter suppression method. And now we're talking about bringing back an abortion ban at 14 weeks. Which, again, is not going to happen, but that's what they're choosing to spend their time on. When we come back, we'll be joined by a writer for the Wisconsin Examiner about Sean Duffy's nomination to be transportation secretary. That's next. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact.
Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
It was on this day in 1992 that Eric Clapton recorded the now famous MTV Unplugged special, including this reimagined version of Layla. Catch those notes and more in our daily history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. All right, we're visiting now with Melissa Kay, who covers news for Civic Media across central Wisconsin, Elizabeth Montemurro, who covers news for Up North News and is one of our political correspondents, along with yours truly. And Melissa, I wanted to ask you about some of the local headlines up there. And especially, things that don't get talked about much on a statewide basis, even though all across the state at various points, this is an issue. And that would be the trails for ATVs, UTVs, things like that. What's being discussed there?
Well, part of the issue, I think, for the people that are trying to get... So we had an ATV, UTV ordinance on the November 5th ballot. It was voted down. But the ordinance included allowing people without a license, so like say 12 to 15 year olds, to drive ATVs and UTVs on city streets. And people voted against it, all but one district here in Wisconsin Rapids. And the groups that are trying to promote this ordinance to pass are saying, but we're losing economic value. If this were to pass, we are surrounded by trails. Portage County allows people to drive on trails. Wood County roads have an ordinance allowing ATV, UTV traffic on the roads. Marshfield allows it. So we're surrounded. We're kind of an island. And so the older person, again, brought up another ordinance and wants us to try to work through this. People aren't real happy about it because they said we already voted against it.
Yeah, it's that parochial concern about, noise, safety, economic development, and oftentimes they don't work in tandem. And so that's why you see and hear debates like this that they will be having once again. Joining us now on the line, we're joined by Frank Zufall of the Wisconsin Examiner, who wrote a commentary article about Sean Duffy. The headline being, Sean Duffy is an odd pick to run the Department of Transportation. Although it should be noted that Sean Duffy probably had the easiest confirmation hearing
of any of President-elect Trump's picks. He got a bipartisan introduction from both Senator Tammy Baldwin and from Senator Ron Johnson, but it still raises the question, why transportation? Frank, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Do you want to give me the thrust of this? Because, look, fair disclosure, a lot of folks know, but I ran against Sean Duffy for Congress back in 2012. And so rather than my words, you have actually covered Sean as a reporter over the years. You know his experience. You know his skill set. But you say right there in the lead, why Duffy and why transportation? Based on what?
Well, you know, I've covered Duffy from 2009 when he was a Tea Party candidate. He was a Ashland County District Attorney right up until he left in 2019. And I've heard him talk about everything. I've interviewed him 5 times. I've been in the room with him probably close to 10 hours. And he's talked very little about transportation. I mean, I went back through all the articles I wrote with Sean and found just one mention where he really emphasized anything about transportation. So I was a little surprised that he got picked for transportation. I thought, yeah, I knew he's close to President-elect Trump. I know he likes Sean and his wife, Rachel, and they're on Fox TV, and he likes commentary on their appearance. But and then he might get picked for something in the Trump administration, but I was really surprised that it was transportation because it didn't seem like something that Representative Duffy was really focused on or concerned. There were a lot of other issues he was a lot more invested in, and he talked a lot more during his reign and seemed more concerned about. And the other thing is, Representative Duffy's got a lot of experience in Congress, 9 years, but he's got a lot of experience in policymaking. But he has very little executive or administrative experience. It's not like you're hiring an ex-governor or someone who's run a corporation or even someone who's got a high position in the military. He's never really led a large organization. He's got very little executive experience. And I watched the hearing yesterday, and I was surprised that nobody pressed him on this. Nobody asked him, Congressman Duffy, how do you think you're going to run an organization of 55,000 when you've never run anything larger than a staff of 10 people?
Right. And you noted it in your column as well that people might have argued that the current Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, didn't have a lot of experience, but he certainly did by comparison, as you note.
Oh, but yeah. Well, he was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. That's a city of over 100,000. They have over 1,000 employees. I mean, that's almost 100 times more experience people-wise that Sean's ever had. You know, I think Sean, Congressman Duffy, is a smart guy. I think he's very capable. Like, you know, he handled those senators very well, but they were very friendly. I'm surprised none of them brought this issue up. I mean, I listened to about 90% of the confirmation hearing. I didn't hear anyone press him on this or express any concern. And, you know, they spent a lot of time talking about his family and how impressed they were of his family. And, you know, I've met his wife and some of his kids. And, yeah, he's a good father. You can't take that away from him. And I think Sean's intelligent, but I'm really surprised that they didn't really show any interest in his lack of executive administrative experience.
No, I think they were just thankful for, one hearing that didn't have tremendous controversy and contention, even if you have that lack of experience. Frank Zufall writes this in the Wisconsin Examiner. You can read the full column at wisconsinexaminer.com. Frank, I really appreciate your insight. Thank you for visiting with us this week.
Oh, you bet. Good.
All right. Have a great day. Elizabeth, okay. Melissa, let me turn back to you guys about this. Elizabeth, I think basically the safe thing to say is his experience was getting one bridge built over the St. Croix River, but I get the impression they really welcomed a trouble-free hearing.
I think so. And, you know, Senator Baldwin's opening remarks also felt a little bit optimistic. Acknowledged we haven't always agreed.
Nope. But
but
compared to the other people here in this cabinet or junk drawer, whatever you want to call it, you know, Sean Duffy wins by comparison. Elizabeth Montemurro, Melissa Kay, thanks for kicking around some of the stories this week. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks.
All right. We'll be back with two new legislators after this. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Recently, if you've been paying attention to the markets, you may have noticed that soybean prices saw a jump. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and joining me is John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, and he's explaining why we saw this increase in price.
So that was one of the big things hitting the bean oil industry, was the fact that they were bringing this used cooking oil in as an import. Now that wouldn't be able to be have the tax credit for it. So soybean oil prices exploded, picking up almost $6 per hundredweight in the last 3, 4, 5 days. And that was one of the reasons we saw the big jump in soybean prices, is the fact that here's one of the products going to have had good value added to it. And the people who crush beans to make oil, you know, obviously see the value there, therefore raising the price of soybeans as well.
Heinberg says that this was a welcome change to the market prices compared to what was seen at the end of 2024. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The USDA wants to remind producers that enrollment for safety net programs for ARC and PLC start on January 21st and for DMC start on January 29th. Grassworks wants to remind everyone that registration is still open for their 33rd annual grazing conference. This conference will take place from January 23rd through 25th at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Also, Pierce County Meats out of Ellsworth, Wisconsin has issued a voluntary Class 2 recall for packaged ready-to-eat meat products. This comes after it was found that wheat was in some products and it was not on the label. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction, raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this morning. I think we'll see a little sunshine by later this afternoon with a high in the low 30s today. It will be less windy this afternoon, too. 23 tonight, tomorrow, cloudy in the mid to upper 30s. And then hang on, it is going to get brutally cold later this weekend into early next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years, they specialize in residential and commercial projects. From siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Our paths may never cross again.
Ronnie Millsap with a big birthday today, 82 years old, 734. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. I am joined now by two legislators who are learning the ropes around the Capitol there after election victories in November. State Senator Jody Habersinikin of Milwaukee and Representative Tara Johnson from the town of Shelby in La Crosse County. Senator, Representative, congratulations. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to see you both. Appreciate you being here. I'm sure it has, if you thought the campaign was a whirlwind, you know. Let's see. Representative Johnson, you are in Madison right now. You're kind of fresh off orientation. So do you feel like you're still learning where the bathrooms and the office supplies are kept? Or are you, how are you settling into the new gig?
I got the bathrooms down. I'm in on the ground floor west. Okay. So that means I'm near the women's bathroom, which I appreciate very much. But I think it is still drinking from a fire hose stage for me, but in a very good way, and lots of great people helping us out. I have a great staff person, and there's just so much to do. So I'm still in the excited maybe honeymoon stage for the most part.
Nope, there's nothing wrong with that, Senator. I assume the same is true for you.
Very much so. It has been a whirlwind, but very exciting. Every single day, every hour, I've been learning new things, meeting new people, just absolutely appreciating how grateful I feel being in the Capitol and the opportunity to move forward with things that I've been wanting to do for so many years. So there's just that sense of opportunity and excitement that I'm very much feeling as well.
So you get that, and of course you all ran for election on various issues, either things that you wanted to pass or just the environment around the Capitol that you wanted to change. Representative Tara Johnson, let me start with you as far as your goals for this session, the things you talked about during the campaign that you hope to accomplish at some point over the next 2 years. What's high up on your list?
Yeah, there's a long list, so I'll try to condense. It is definitely economic issues for residents in the 96th and the whole state of Wisconsin, right? So pocketbook issues that are affordable. I heard a lot about affordable childcare, affordable housing, and healthcare issues, probably that kind of cluster of concerns. And then at the other end are also much bigger systemic issues around, you know, codifying reproductive freedoms, making sure that we are funding public schools in the way that we need to. The state has been really delinquent in that regard over the years. So some really personal kitchen table kinds of things that tend to be around economic issues, and then quite a few bigger picture items for change. And I love that that you said, Jody, excuse me, Senator Habersinikin.
Yeah, trust me, as a former senator, we insist you must always use the title no matter what.
Yeah.
It's called senitude, you know, but go ahead.
But it's the opportunity, right? Like there is a sense of opportunity, especially in the assembly with 10 additional Democratic seats being held and 20, I'm in a caucus of 23, 24 freshman Democratic representatives. So there's a lot of sense of opportunity and going to get work done.
Yeah, I mean, there are more freshmen in the caucus than there are veterans in the caucus. The rookies outnumber the vets there. It's not that far off, Senator Habersinikin, in your caucus, where, again, they had to have been so happy to see y'all with those fresh faces walking into that caucus room.
Absolutely. There is so much energy in our caucus and ideas And again, the sense of potential and opportunity to finally be able to start putting in motion those things that are needed to move Wisconsin forward. And similar to Representative Johnson, I am very much focused as my priorities what I heard at the doors from my constituents. And that is very much making those necessary investments to move our state forward, protecting our reproductive freedoms, targeted tax relief, and keeping our community safe and strong with the ability to really look out for our children and our families. And all of that seems that we can get there in a far better position now that we have this change and the change in our caucuses.
Okay, so I've listened to you both talk about the issues that people are talking about. You knocked on thousands of doors. You talked to so many people who are Democratic, Republican, Independent. I did not hear either one of you say, well, maybe the first thing we should do is make it harder for people to vote, you know, and put some voter suppression in the Constitution so that, you know, you need to show an ID even if you don't have one and make it tougher to get one. Correct me if I'm wrong. That was not a big issue at your doors, right? No? Okay.
Zero times.
Kind of figured. Just wanted to make sure there. Put that on the record. So where we are going to be going next is the state budget. There will be the State of the State address next week. The budget address from Governor Evers will follow. Representative Johnson, what would you like to see done as that state budget is being crafted and debated? What do you hope for in the final product?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I want to acknowledge the process. I am definitely a process kind of geek, and I appreciate that the governor has really engaged all of us as representatives in that process from months ago. You know, as soon as the election results were in, they were reaching out, what are your priorities? What are projects? What are initiatives that you want to see built into the governor's budget? And I genuinely just really appreciate that dialogue started early. And we've been able to meet with the governor on those as a delegation. So I expect a lot of the same things that he has been fighting for all along. He will be fighting for more funding for public education, and in particular, I think special education. He will be fighting for these same kind of economic issues that I talked about a minute ago. He has been so consistent in fighting for, you know, middle class, low class, lower class Wisconsinites to make sure that the economics of our state are supporting them. And one other quick thing I would note is I feel like he is also trying to position the state to be prepared for what comes from shifts at the federal level. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be really important, and I look forward to that.
And there will be shifts of some kind at the federal level, no doubt. Jody Habersinek, and I'm sure you have a lot of the same thoughts on that. So let me ask you instead about some audio we played a few minutes ago from the state Senate's top Republican, Devin Lemahue, who, again, last session refused to take up an assembly bill on a referendum for a 14-week abortion ban, saying, well, the governor's going to veto it anyway. And yet here he is saying this past weekend that he will probably bring up just a straight 14-week abortion ban bill for a vote in the Senate. Again, did not see that as something that was the focus of a lot of campaigning compared to kitchen table issues.
Absolutely. I did not hear even one time support for that type of measure. As we have all talked about over many months and years, Wisconsin has shown consistently strong support for return to Roe v. Wade protections, which does not in any way consider a 14-week abortion ban. What I heard door after door and continue to prioritize is that Wisconsin women and families deserve that their reproductive health care decisions remain in the hands of women and their physicians and not imposed randomly by politicians in Madison or elsewhere. So this is a very out of touch stunt, and it's unfortunate because it is not resonating certainly with people of the 8th Senate District or around the state.
We're talking to State Senator Jody Habersynekin of the Milwaukee area and Representative Tara Johnson from the La Crosse area, two new legislators representing folks from back home in Madison. Let's talk a bit about your committee assignments and what you're looking forward to doing on those. Senator Habersynekin, we'll start with you this time. Tell me something about your committee assignments that you're looking forward to.
Well, I'm really pleased and honored to be the ranking member of the Natural Resources, Veterans, and Military Affairs Committee, as well as a member of the Sporting Heritage and Financial Institutions Committees. This is really my area of passion and professional expertise in terms of natural resources and being able to work with statewide coalitions and hear from my constituents about what is important to them and their families for Wisconsin. So I feel really comfortable and confident about being able to make progress on very important issues like PFAS, water quality, protecting our natural places and resources around the state. So that is what I'm very much looking forward to. And of course, learning very much so about military affairs and veterans, as well as financial institutions. So it's a great mix of much great learning, as well as a confidence in how we can move forward across the aisle.
Representative Johnson, tell us a bit about what you're looking forward to doing on committees.
Yeah, thanks. I'm hearing the senator talk about how excited she is. I feel that same excitement. And I think that it is a reflection of Democratic leadership and really pairing or matching our strengths and past experience with committee assignments. So I, too, am really thrilled with the committees that I have been assigned to. First is agriculture, which is in, if you know, the 96th Assembly District, which is this beautiful kind of bifurcated district, but Vernon County is the heart and soul of the 96th Assembly District, and agriculture is a critical industry. Organic Valley is based there in Lafarge, and the Driftless area is a very sensitive part of our state in terms of environmental concerns. So the Agricultural Committee is a perfect, a really important assignment there. And then my second committee is the Health, Aging, and Long-Term Care Committee. Much like the senator mentioned, my background in county board work included 20 plus years of work in long-term care and the support that we provide to frail elderly and adults with physical and developmental disabilities. So very excited about my assignment on the health committee as well.
Tara, how long did you serve on the La Crosse County Board?
20 years.
And
nine of those as chair.
And nine of those as chair of the La Crosse County Board. So you have lived that layer of government. Now you know, in a time of political divisions, you're not in Kansas anymore. You're not on a county board anymore. But what are you hoping, and what are folks back home telling you about their expectations of their elected leaders in Madison compared to on the local level?
Yeah, I'm going to use Don, and that's what we expect of local government. And I will say, again, similar to what the senator said, I am concerned that in the one day of session that we have had so far, that there is there seems to be in Madison an interest in from the majority party not getting much stuff done. We have had 8 days blocked out in our calendars. On Tuesday, we had a session day. So that lack of ambition and intent to get stuff done is concerning to me. And that is a sharp contrast from local government. And the other thing I would say is there is so much rhetoric. We talked about as you mentioned, Pat, the piece of legislation on the amendment for voter identification and just some really, in my opinion, some really mean, like unkind, really just a ton of rhetoric that was so, in my opinion, unprofessional and very different from local government, where you figure out how to get stuff done no matter what political perspective people bring to the local government table.
Exactly. Look, you have to work with them all, and I wish you all the best with it. But I will say, and this is my opinion alone, but this playground bully attitude that they've brought to the Capitol, somebody's got to break that fever eventually for them. And if that means killing them with kindness or whatever works. Jody, I've got just a couple of seconds if you want to sum up what you hope the attitude change is like in Madison.
Yeah, I very much am hopeful that there will be opportunity to work across the aisle. That was my commitment and my promise to my constituents on the campaign trail. And I do see opportunities already. I have been meeting and will continue to meet with legislators across the aisle and ask them, explore how we can work together. So that is something that I think is possible and actionable.
I wish you all the best with that. Senator Jody Habersinikin, Representative Tara Johnson, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, we'll wrap things up after this. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jim Stafford's 81 today, and that was one of his novelty hits, My Girl Bill, which was rather racy for the time in the 1970s. Yeah. Until you get to the end of the song, and there's a comma in there where he says, "She's my girl, Bill." Now, I gave away the joke, but you should listen to the record anyway, just for fun. Luke Mathers joins us now, as often does on Thursdays. Where's your big old Bucks hat? The Bucks are hot now again.
Yeah, they are.
They're in fourth place.
Yeah. No, I think they took over third place. I think that's what.
No, you said fourth place this morning, and I went like this.
Pat's never wrong too, so it's probably fourth place, right?
I got this from the Associated Press. Let me look back at the copy here. The Bucks passed Lando to take over fourth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I said. And get excited, get fired up. Fourth place, baby. Whole lot of
season left. Whole lot of basketball to be. Played still, so it's I'm not too worried about it. Again, yeah. I would be concerned if I was a Miami Heat fan and Jimmy Butler, where he just kind of ghost walks through the season, hoping to catch a playoff spot, and then turns on playoff Jimmy. If the Bucks were doing that, I'd be worried. But I think that there's improvement. There's chemistry that's building with all of the pieces that they put on the court surrounding the big three. Chris Middleton's getting healthier and healthier. He's putting up numbers each night. I think it's been a really smart move for Doc to put Chris on the bench and rather have him in the starting rotation right now, have him come off the bench and be able to produce some offense for the team with the second string. I think it's working out really well right now. I just don't have a bad hair day, so I didn't need to wear the Bucks hat this early in the morning.
When do you have a bad hair day? Your hair is wonderful. That's not
it's early in the morning, so you know, sometimes I haven't quite gotten ready when I jump on the radio with you fine gentlemen on these Thursday mornings.
Isn't that funny? You're like, I have to jump on the radio so I make sure I look good.
We've got a visual product too.
Yep, the video feed is everything. Tony writes on YouTube, I never question Pat's sports knowledge. I also don't check it. Well, see, that's the best way. The best way to fact check is to not fact check at all. That's the future of social media, right?
That's Facebook
that
right there.
Tony Zimmerman, our Facebook
our community notes guy.
Yeah, our community notes manager right there.
Not helping his own cause. Oh, goodness. Well, so do you, because I asked this same question of Mr. Zepecki, you know, again, big Bucks fan, but how many Bucks games do you get to? And I get it, tickets don't cost $5 anymore, like when I was a kid. But still, do you get to, you know, do you get to one Bucks game a year, two or three? Because I always imagine Joe Zepecki being like the Spike Lee of the Bucks, just sitting there in the front row, you know, every game.
No, we have our Spike Lee, and that's David Gruber. And so I don't think anybody can really take that away from the Grubes. But we have that already. If I was in Milwaukee more regularly, I would be trying to get to more games. But I try to make it at least once a season minimum. It's a pain in the butt just to try to watch them here in Madison, though, because between the FanDuel Sports Network, once upon a time was Bally's, which once upon a time was Fox Sports, it's their app doesn't work. Like, even when I do like have a friend that's like, hey, try my login. I'll log in, and then the game just sits there with a spiraling wheel of death. And it's just like, okay, they're in the second quarter now, so I guess I'm just not gonna be paying attention. Like, I'll just watch the updates on ESPN on my app on my phone. Like, that's
I have a question, and please call me out for being ignorant or naive, but doesn't it behoove each league, whether it's football, baseball, or basketball, to run this all themselves, have their own ticket? Like, you know what I mean? Like, have their own streaming service where it's like, you want to see NFL action? Check out NFL.com.
Well, they have them, but they're expensive most of the time. Like,
that's the point. Is, again, the answer to all your questions is money. And in this case, it costs money to put something out on an app.
Yeah.
And so then they have to charge big bucks. But if they can make somebody else pay the cost and then have to compete on price, which lowers their profit margin, and so the app is you know, cruddy. Well, that's just part of the game, I guess, them. But
last Friday, both the Bucks were playing. They were playing down in Orlando, and the Badgers were hosting Minnesota. And I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV, which I have. And so, like, I should be able to watch like the live sports. That's why I have YouTube TV is because of the live sports. And two of my teams I couldn't even watch on Friday night. So Kelsey and I were just like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to a bar. We're going to order a fish fry. We're going to sit and watch our teams.
But you still paid the cable bill or whatever, you know, the internet bill, and you didn't get product for
that. And that's my big problem too. I would pull the trigger in a heartbeat on an MLB service, which provided said you can watch you will see all of your hometown games, period.
Yeah.
All and you can watch, I mean, as many as the other. I would overpay too. Like, if it was like $200 a year, I would easily do that. But
I think MLB has one.
But they still have blackouts.
What you pay.
And then you're like, this game is on Apple. This game is on YouTube. Mm-hmm. This game is on network. This game is on cable. Let me watch my team and take my money.
You don't want to have a scavenger hunt along with your sports fan.
Yes.
Like, it shouldn't have to be, okay, where are they playing tonight now?
And I'm going to be the optimist here, just for historical purposes, that somewhere down the line, this all gets figured out. Things work smoothly all the time. And I really feel like we're living in the time that years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean, we're basically churning our own butter when it comes to getting our sports.
Things don't happen in a vacuum, though. And just because they seem eventual, you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies of these sports broadcast networks and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace. So you got to get organized and you got to get engaged in these
issues. Less than 1 minute left in the show, and the smartest thing of the show was finally said.
The handsome, the capable, the smart... Luke Mathers.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air. So thank you, gentlemen, very much. Thanks to today's guests, Senator Jody Habersh-Sinikin, Representative Tara Johnson, Joe Zepecki, Luke Mathers, Elizabeth Montemurro, Melissa Kay, and more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
93.5 The Tap.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu cites a last-minute crisis with Hamas for delaying a cabinet vote on a Gaza ceasefire agreement. Deputy National Security Advisor Jonathan Feiner tells CBS.
We are going to be working day in, day out to make sure this gets implemented on time, and that's what we expect.
A new study shows more Americans are surviving cancer, but there's a caveat. Here's CBS's Vicki Barker.
The American Cancer Society warns that progress is now under threat, with cancer cases growing among women and younger adults.
Crews battling the devastating wildfires in and around Los Angeles will get a break today when the Santa Ana winds die down. Correspondent Tom Hansen.
For the immediate future, you know, that's going to give firefighters the upper hand, but the reprieve is going to be short-lived.
Strong winds are expected to pick up again on Monday. The death toll from the fires remains at 25. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.